Good morning. Most of you know me from the last time I was here, but in case anyone missed, I'm 6'7", so that answers that question, and you can already tell I'm African-American, and if head goes down during service, make certain that when it comes up, you say amen, so I don't think you're sleeping on my message, because I'm tall enough to see you, and as you can tell, I move around quite a bit. This morning's message is one that, as most messages, the Lord gave to me so that I would be able to understand it in order to present it through Him to you. If you came here this morning looking for me to fill you, you will leave here as empty as when you arrived. But if you came through this door today, uplifting and giving all unto the glory of God, He and the Holy Spirit will fill you today. There will be a seed that will be planted within you by the Holy Spirit that God will nurture and allow you to share with others. The date is August 28th, 1963. The place is Washington, D.C. 2,000 people gathered to hear the Reverend Martin Luther King. I was 10 years old and, like many others, was listening intently to him speak. The impact of his speech would be heard around the world. During the course of that speech, he utilized two anaphorias. An anaphoria is a statement which accentuates and punctuates the beginning of each sentence or a final thought. The first one that Martin Luther King utilized was, "Now is the time. Now is the time." The second one, and probably the most remembered one, is "I have a dream." Today, I too have a dream. And I hope that it's a dream that will be shared not only by myself, but by you. The dream that I have is that we will be a shining example of God's real church, which conveys God's message in these end times. God's true church. Sometimes I believe that we take for granted what that means. We believe at times that just by being Adventists, that we are fulfilling all the needs of God's true church. I tell you today, the person that stands before you was not raised Adventist, but through the love of others, I sought additional truth, which caused me to be an Adventist. Too many times we feel and we neglect to give that love that is necessary to others. God's true church will not neglect others. It will not backbite within. It will not cast blame on others. But it will try its best to emulate Christ in all that it does. Amen? It will find joy in the good times as well as joy in the bad times. It will be willing to give up all for Christ. Sometimes I believe that not in all places, and I'm not saying that all people, but I do believe that there are times when we look at the sundown table, and we realize that Sabbath, for me, began at 4:30 last night in Brookings. And then we realize that at 4:32 this evening, Sabbath will end. But I'm here to tell you today that you are Seventh-day Adventist. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, you're to emulate Christ. And in order for any church to grow purposefully, one needs to separate themselves and allow the Holy Spirit to work upon them individually. By that I mean, if there is anything in your life that needs correcting before Christ, in order for your ministry to go on, which makes you a part of this body, it needs to be corrected. If there are bridges that you have burned for the sake of being right, then you need to go back and repair those bridges. Because the Father is only going to come after the truth has been belted around the entire world. And for this church to grow within the Holy Spirit, not numbers, numbers don't count. Spiritual growth is the most important thing that this church could have. And in order for you not to stifle the Holy Spirit within this wall, within this community, within this family at this church, wrongs have to be righted. Now, some of you may say, I haven't done anything to anyone. I haven't had any harsh thoughts about anyone. I'm not saying that you have, but I do know that the Father knows. And if this church is experiencing a period of time where the Holy Spirit is being stifled, we all will suffer. I have a dream that God's true church will preach the gospel. And in times especially that they will stand firm on the truths of his word. That they will find joy in sharing that word with others. What brings people to Christ? What's the most important portion of any formula to bring people to Christ? And that's love. I was brought by love. The world is in need of love. You cannot bring everybody to truth, but you're not supposed to. You're supposed to plant a seed of love. And then get back out of the way and let God nurture it. Because only then will God, through the direction of the Holy Spirit, direct that individual on where they're supposed to serve. I believe we are God's church. I truly believe that with all my heart and with all my soul. But I need to see it. Not only become what you believe, but live what you become. Do not store it away for a later date. Do not store it away or turn it away from individuals who are less fortunate than yourself. Now, I know people say that would never happen here. I was at a church, a large Adventist church. I was there and I was teaching the teen Sabbath class, and they came running to interrupt my class. Don, we need you right now. So I excused myself and left my youth group in the hands of another capable teacher. And I went rushing to the back because I'm not knowing what's taking place in the back office of this church. I get there. There was a homeless woman sitting eating out of a can of corn. And they didn't know what to do. They did not know what to do. What better place for a person to be than on a Sabbath morning than at the hospital doors? And they didn't know what to do. So I prayed with her as they frantically scurried back to begin service. And I let her go in so she could wash and try to do the best she could with her hair. And then I invited her to come to service with me. She came and she sat in the second row with me. And she knew every praise hymn came up on the screen. She knew the text of the Bible backwards and forwards. But God had placed it on her heart where she could come not only and get help, but get spiritual help. Spiritual help. Afterwards, my youth group took her to potluck. Afterwards, we got her a ticket and we put her on a Greyhound bus to Seattle where she could be with her brother. 3 months later, I get a letter from her. She's doing outreach for the church up there. She's doing homeless outreach. Only thing that she needed was to be shown love. There are many just like her that cross your path every single day. I'm not saying you have to invite them to church because most of them won't come into a church because they believe that we're all hypocrites. We teach one thing and we show them another. But they need to be spiritually fed. God's true church will spiritually feed people. When I came into church today, a guy said, I saw you on 3ABN. It was probably one of the most blessed times I had being able to sit and speak with Shelley Quinn. But the greatest joy in my life has been going into a shelter and saying, can I pray for you? We see them all the time with their signs and we thumb up our nose because some of them have burned us. We've given. But when we gave, did we give from our heart as God's true church? Or did I give as Donald Cobbs to make Donald Cobbs feel better? I'm not going to ask how many have just walked into a shelter. Gotten out of the fine attire, put on your jeans, your coveralls, and got in the trenches with what society says is the Gentiles. and walked in and said, "Can I pray for you?" Now, something about that to me distinguishes God's true church. Jesus went amongst the Gentiles and he ministered. I'm certain that was not within his comfort zone. I'm certain that coming here to die for our sins was not within his comfort zone. And when he cried out to the Father, "Why have thou forsaken me?" He was not within his comfort zone. But when you're down and you're sick and you're ill, when someone comes to you, they're not within their comfort zone. They're coming because they've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to come and to pray for you, to come and see how you are. How many of you have laid down and never received a call? Because it's not within my comfort zone to call you. God's true church, I have a dream that it will not only preach the gospel, but it will live the gospel. That it will live God's word. And living God's word is more than coming and sitting in these pews on Sabbath. It's more than in a Sunday church going and sitting. We're almost in the end times. We all must agree. I asked one church, I said, when the blue laws, the Sunday laws are actually enacted, what are we supposed to do? They said, we're supposed to pack up and run. Wrong answer. Sunday laws, when they come in, it's not allowing people to do business on Sunday. So that means what's going to be open? God's word is going to be open. You're supposed to go and teach. You're supposed to go and teach. Don't walk in there with your badge of Adventism and want to take everybody to the fourth commandment. But you want to go in and you got a chance to teach. You got a chance to share his love, share your knowledge, and present his word the way it should be presented. You've got to remember, when the call comes, there will be many from all denominations who will be answering that call. So if we're God's church, why don't we take a step forward in Christ, drop the denomination and go forward as children of Christ to bring others to Christ. We all know that you're Adventists. I've gotten to where I can spot y'all a mile away. Gotten pretty good at it now. Unless, of course, I must apologize. I used to think, I really did believe that if they sat all Adventist pastors, fill up a pews, and you couldn't see them from the front, you could only see them from the back, they all have their hair cut the same way, it's all parted, combed over the same way, and they all have the nicest suits on and the world's ugliest shoes. You know, they never buy shoes. They keep the same shoes all the time. And then I used to think that pastors were really smart. Well, they still are. But I used to think they were exceptionally smart. Because when I come into their church, they know sister so-and-so is missing. And brother so-and-so is missing this Sabbath. I can be a smart pastor, too. Most of you sit in the same spot every Sabbath. I believe you were sitting almost in the same spot last time I was here. Love, God's true church, loves unconditionally. That love also has to be shared within. Too many times I went to churches and someone has fallen out of the congregation because they got mad with somebody. Now I know most of you are hardworking people. Some of you were at the same job where you couldn't stand that same boss for over 30 years, but you still went every day. But no sooner than somebody ruffles your feathers in the church family, you're out the door searching for a new church. And now, it's not so bad that you go out the door, but when you go out the door condemning the entire church, and then you poison the next place that you go to. Uh-oh. How many of y'all, before I go further, how many of y'all believe that God heals? Raise your hand. Good. So if I step on your toes, he has to heal them. Because you said you believe it. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we're getting a little deep in here today. They tell me I'm an oxymoron. In Brookings, that's what the ministerial council calls me when I come to their meetings. And they invite me, like tomorrow, I've been invited to speak at the Foursquare Church in Brookings. Sunday morning, and I'm going. But they call me an oxymoron because they say I'm a Pentecostal Adventist. Because I have joy. I always have joy, and I show that joy. You know, it's like, I believe in God's true church, there is joy. How many of you can remember when you got so excited, you got those little goosebumps? Remember how those little goosebumps ran down your shoulders? It kind of made you go, you know, you just kind of shook all over. If you never had that joy when you go home today, just go quietly into your room and stand there, and your wife won't mind because she'll hear you in there going, until you get that joy. And then once you get that true joy and you come back to church next Sabbath and your pastor's here, I just want you all to just stand around him. Don't say a word. Just go up and stand around him, and all at once you guys say, and see what kind of joy and what kind of look comes on his face. Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit will be riding high. God's true church announces the hour of God's judgment has come. You can do that by simply sharing his love with others. You'll be announcing because they'll want to know why. They'll want to know why. I used to wonder, I told God that he made a mistake when he sent me to Southern Oregon to minister. I said, especially Medford, Grants Pass, Weimar, Rogue River were my first places. And me and my wife lived in Weimar. When my kids heard about it, they said, you need to move quick. But it was like, God, you made this mistake. I know you normally don't make them, but you did this time. I mean, you sent me to a place where they used to hang us out just for the fun of it. And I don't mean hang out with me like the kids used to say. I mean, they literally hung us out. So God, you had to make a mistake. But then as I journeyed through this life, and I got more and more in Christ, I discovered I have and possess the instant ability to minister. Because no matter where I go, somebody's going to say, do you play basketball? At 54 years old, I can't play dead. Or, how's the weather up there? So after I got over all the trying to think of all those smart remarks to give back to people, then I realized God's gifted me with the opportunity to share his love with someone. You know, how's the weather up there? How you doing today? I'm blessed. Well, why are you blessed? Because I've got God in my life. He's given you that ability too, and if you're truly God's chosen church, you need to use it. You need to use it. People come up to you every day and ask you something. Something that's beyond your normal range of what you think makes sense. And you will smile and you will suck it on and you will leave. There was an opportunity for you to minister. Don't confuse ministering with recruiting. Okay? There's a big difference. When you minister to someone, you're just opening them up so that they can receive God's love or want to receive a relationship with Christ. You're not recruiting them to become Adventists. You're not running along beside them, explaining to them that there was 27 beliefs, now there's 28, and here, have a sign in the Times. No. What caused me to be an Adventist was love. It was the same thing that got most of you here. And it's the only thing that's going to get us through. Okay? I've heard people say, well, I'm a fifth generation Seventh-day Adventist. Well, okay. Does that guarantee you a place in the kingdom? Does that mean that you don't have to do anything else because the other four generations did it all? No, I don't think so. God's true church. If you want to be a part of God's true church, then you first have to become a family of God. Families have differences, but families do not allow differences to tear them apart. Families don't allow that to happen. We can agree to disagree, and it's better for us to sit together and agree to disagree than for us to run back home and say, guess what that pastor said today? You know, I really didn't like that. We don't need to have him back again. That's all right. I'll show up again. And it's like, Sidney Poitier, guess who's coming to dinner? I'll be back. You know, because you've got to have that joy with each other. Without joy, there can't be love. And without love, there can't be faith. And if you don't have faith, there is no hope. It's that simple. And I don't care how you turn those around, they all go together all the time. It's not a magical ingredient. I mean, we are the privileged few who have been given God's word, which can help us resolve all problems. I consider myself to be a lot like Peter. You know, draw the sword, swing quick. That was my lifestyle. But you notice when Peter got out the boat and he started walking on the water, when he took his eye off of Christ, he went down, but he was instantly rescued. So, what's wrong with y'all? The example has already been given. The problem has been solved. When we grew up, we all believed that 2 and 2 equal 4 until some really ridiculous scientist said, no, it didn't. God's given us the formula. He's telling you to get out the boat and walk with your eyes on him so this church can grow as a family spiritually and be God's chosen church. You can't be it if you won't get off the pew. If you're too scared to get out the boat, or if you're waiting for somebody else to get out the boat first. See, I know people's faith. Y'all are of good faith, but nobody wants to be the first one out the boat. Everybody's scared to be the first one out the boat. Well, I'm waiting for Sister So-and-so to get out the boat first. If she does it, I'll do it too. You know, or we really love being part of the nominating committee. We don't like being the ones nominated. You know, everybody raise your hand who wants to be on the nominating committee. Don't have enough positions. When it's come time to be the one nominated to serve, well, you know, I really can't do it this time. You know, just keep me in your prayers. Yeah, wrong. God gave me this message for you today. He took me completely away from what I had planned. But he does that because he is the King of Kings. He is my Lord of Lords. And he brought this message here for you today, that you have a strong church and a strong church family. The problems that you have here are no greater than the problems in any other church in the world. So work through them. Don't give up on them. Because if you give up, you're giving up on Christ. If you give up, you're giving up on yourselves and you're giving up on Christ. Don't let Satan put blockers in here. Don't allow Satan to put his foot in here and disturb and disrupt this family. Even though my oldest daughter, when she calls, I know the last part of the call is going to say, Daddy, I love you, and there's a check, some amount that's connected. I still love to see her and still love to hear from her. I'm not going to let that change anything. When our youngest son calls, collect. I worry, but I take it. Why? Because Christ lives in my heart. And he gave me our children. And with those children came love. Christ gave you to each other. He gave you to each other. It's no accident that you happen to be here today. It's no accident that you're part of this church. It's no accident that you've chosen to have like beliefs. He put you together so that you can move forward for his will. So stop moving forward for your own and start moving forward for his. Remember, not only are you visible to those within the community, some think we're a cult, some think we're hypocrites. But I want you to remember that you may be the closest thing to Christ that some of these people will see. There are people out there right now who are wavering on the fence, who are trying to determine which way their lives should go. And when they look to you and they can't even get a smile, remember, you assisted them in making the wrong decision. You assisted that loved one in taking its life. You assisted those who decided that they were going to go join a church that does not believe in the word of God, that says we have no chains. We're so happy because we have no chains. You assisted them to turn their back on Christianity and on God's love because you didn't reflect God's love. And that's nobody's fault but your own. So I'm asking you today, if you're doing this, stop looking at others and judging their religion, their Christianity, and start focusing on yours. Start focusing on your own, because God created each of you. Only through Christ do you have a chance to experience perfection, because he made you for a specific purpose that nobody else can do. And if you turn your back on him, a piece of that puzzle is gone. The necessity, that one piece that was needed to make the complete picture, is gone. My grandmother used to put together puzzles, big, massive puzzles. And she used to forbid me from going in the room because I was one of those tenacious little kids with a lot of energy, and I'd always hit the table and pieces would go everywhere and never failed. There'd be one missing every time. Sooner or later, it was found when we emptied the vacuum cleaner. But the puzzle was done. It could no longer be put together. You're a vital piece of God's puzzle. You are. You are. You are. You are. You're a vital piece of God's puzzle. And he didn't make you to stay in the box. You got to get out the box. And don't be scared. Let God out the box too, and your fear will go away. Take God out the box today. Does he still feel the nails every time you fail? The only way he's going to feel those nails through your failure is if you give up and you turn your back on him so he can't help you. That's the only way. Believe me, what you see today is nothing like what was. Nothing like what was. But you know, today, I don't care about what was, because God has helped me to love what is. And he's helped me to love those who love him for what they are. For what they are. Not for what we think they will be or should be, but for what they are. We're here in this massive hospital because we're all sick. We're all sick. None of you are any weller than the other. None of you are any less than the other. 2 Timothy, I want your youth to read it because it tells us how important you are. It'll let you know how important you are in God's work. As I close today, he placed a burden on my heart for this church. I have been asked to come here today. I still don't know the real reasons, but I know that he gave a message that is just for this church. A friend of mine called me 3 months ago from the conference office and asked me to come here and speak. I didn't know why. I don't need to know why. That's what we have to understand about serving a mighty and awesome God. We don't have to understand. We just have to do. So only you know if this message touched home with you today. But I do know this, that if you get up with joy in your heart for Christ, and you walk to emulate his love and his life, he will definitely bless you so that you can bless someone. So I came in here today knowing that he was going to bless me and knowing that he was going to bless someone. So may a seed been planted in your heart. Let God nurture it, but open your minds to it. Open your minds to what he has for you today. And after opening your mind, let it be implanted in your heart. And then act on it. You don't have to have a committee meeting to act on it. You don't have to call all your friends to let them know, hey, this is what God put on my heart to go do. Just go do it. The greatest blessing is the unseen blessing. People don't have to know what you did because it'll be revealed soon enough, as well as the things that we didn't do. So in this Thanksgiving and this holiday season, repair bridges, repair relationships, even if you were right, even if you feel you were right, repair it. And like I was telling the brothers in the back, on my way here, I'd stopped to change clothes. And just in that brief period of time, as I was cresting the hill on I-5, a lady hit a buck in the middle of the highway. It never got across the barrier. She was on the side of the road with the whole front end of her car tore up. Don't wait, because you could be that buck today. Don't wait. Because you could be that buck today. And whatever your situation was, you were the driver that hit the buck, so go repair it. Heavenly Father, I come to you. Oh, Father, I love them so, but I know that you love them more. Father, we just want to thank you today We want to thank you for all that you've done for us and all that you're going to do with us, Father. Father, may we, in our own humble way, each of us get out the boat, Father, and trust in you. And when we truly ask you to reveal yourself to us and to change our lives, may we begin to prepare the fields for those changes. But Father, help us to leave our comfort zone, I pray. Give them your travel mercies, Father, as they depart this place today. But more importantly, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit has planted a seed in each one here. And Father, I thank you for taking control the way you have and for speaking through me what you would have me to say and not what was prepared by me. Father, I thank you for this. And Father, I ask that you continue to use this unworthy vessel, Father, for your will and your way. This is my prayer that I offer up to you in thanksgiving. Amen.